Hello and welcome. As I sit here with my Black Girl Magic mug here. Hello and welcome, everyone. Hello and welcome to Discussing Trek. Today we're reviewing Season 2, Episode 9 of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, Subspace Rhapsody. Like always, I'm your host Clarence, and I'm joined by none other than Mr. Lee Shackelford. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm so glad to be back here with you, discussing Trek with all you guys.
He's been teeing that up. He's been waiting for that one all week.
I have practiced that all day.
Well, you are certainly on key, sir. So, you know.
Thank you.
Kudos. And also on the podcast, we have none other than Larry Irby returning. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Glad to be with you guys to talk about this episode. I'm going to need your help because I don't know how to talk about a musical. So we'll see how it goes. And also on the podcast, of course, we have Cal Jones. How you doing, man?
And I'm not going to believe that I'm actually doing this, but I am, and I'm here.
It's improbability field.
Man. It's an improbability field. Oh, things are true.
Definitely going haywire here. Man, I can't wait for the beats.
I even brought a recorder.
Okay, because you sung, I will let you get away with the recorder, sir. I'll let you get away with the recorder.
And now you know what the rules are.
Indeed. But yes, glad to be here.
Of course, what we do here on this podcast is talk about Star Trek. And today, we're going to talk about Strange New Worlds Subspace Rhapsody. First, real quick, we won't get deep into it, but for the Star Trek Prodigy fans, there was a clip from Season 2, Episode 1 that was released at Star Trek Las Vegas that, you know, has some pretty good Easter eggs in there. And hopefully we can get that season somewhere because we know it's not on Paramount Plus anymore, but some good things there going on with Prodigy Season 2, and hopefully it sees the light of day. So we'll leave it at that. But we're going to go ahead and get into our review of Subspace Rhapsody, which was written by Dana Horgan and Bill Wyckoff and directed by Dermot Downes. He also did the Flash and the Supergirls episodes that were musicals that I have failed to see, that I do want to see. So
I've not seen the Flash version. I mean, the Supergirl version. I have seen the Flash. It was okay.
And I heard today there's also a Scrubs musical. So I'm a Scrubs fan. So I have to seek that out and check it out as well.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Just for a second, I thought you said Scrolls musical.
And I did too.
I did too. I was like,
I would pay good money to see. No, never mind.
We're going to go ahead and get into the episode. An accident with an experimental quantum probability field causes everyone aboard the USS Enterprise to break uncontrollably into song. But the real danger is that the field is expanding and beginning to impact other ships, allies and enemies alike.
So for everyone listening, if you have not seen this episode, put us on pause, go out, watch the episode, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Red alert. All hands stand to battle stations.
What gives you the right?
You cannot destroy an undead.
At ease before you sprain something.
The spoiler warning has been dropped, and like always, we go right back to Mr. Jones for the beats of the episode. Sometimes serious, sometimes comedic. Honestly, you never know. And sometimes it might be a song. So, Mr. Jones, what do you have for us this week, sir?
So, I kind of ruined my beats because my original beat was going to be, if you think I'm going to sing, you're just wrong. But I wound up being inspired and sang. So, that being said, I don't have a beat. So, I'm going to come up with one. I have a feeling this episode was music to our ears.
Wow. If that was on the fly, that was pretty darn good, sir. Let's go around the horn and see what everybody's high-level opinion of this episode is. And let's start with you, Larry. What did you think of this episode of Strange New Worlds?
I thought this episode was absolutely amazing. The one thing that's really hard to do in a musical, and I didn't do anything big, but I used to do community theater. So I know the beats of doing musicals. I was with Fiddler on the Hot Tin Roof. One of the hardest things in doing something like that is to get it, the music right. You have to get the choreography right. And the other thing is you have to be aware. So when I saw like behind the scenes how hard they worked to get that stuff down, I mean, it's not easy. Musical theater or a musical, it's far from easy. But I just thought they did an amazing job. I've watched it like three times. It was that good.
Well, Larry's exactly right. I mean, most of you know that I'm a theater professor, and I spend my life with my department, and we do two musicals every year. And Larry's not kidding. It is the goal is to make it look easy, and it's not. And I have seen a lot of bad musical, and a lot of times it's a great book, it's a great score, but the execution just wasn't there. You know, some people's voices just couldn't push to that big belt that we knew needed, or hit those high notes or low notes. And these guys were absolutely pitch perfect always. And you could tell that these songs were being written for these performers. I think that's something that was evident to me. I'm not sure if that would be evident to people who don't live in this world, but Christina Chong is a singer first before an actor. And they have to have known that going in, that we need to give her a big song where she can really belt, and that she's going to be able to act through and you know, show us her heart. Well, Celia Rose Gooding has got a Grammy yeah. award, for God's sake. I mean, so we know, and it makes sense in the course of the story too, that we're going to have a piece where we have Uhura by herself, and the song is called Solo, and she is going to break the windows. And you know, they banked on those two things, and you know, it works. And who knew Ethan Peck had such a beautiful voice?
Yeah, very surprising.
One of the rules of writing opera and musical theater, for that matter, something that we've inherited from opera, is the joke I've heard composers make is you only need to have four melodies, because what you're going to do is mix them up and adapt them and pitch them differently, use them in different tempos throughout the show, and they will sound like they're different numbers, but they're not, you know? Mm. And you can use that as a way of subtly connecting characters. So you may have noticed Chapel's song and Spock's song
yes.
is the same melody.
Yeah.
And that's just genius. And the lyrics to Spock's song, as somebody who aspires to be a lyricist, that just knocked me out. So yeah, those are my notes on it as a musical. Now we'll talk about it as a Star Trek episode, perhaps later on. But anyway, yeah.
Cal Jones, do you have any additional things to add at a high level for you?
So really high level, really, really brief. I will say, you know, to me, this felt like go big or go home. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to adjust that a little bit and say go big and go right, meaning mm-hmm. do it the right way or go home. Because yeah. they knew if they did this just a little bit off kilter, that fans were going to eat it up. And not eat it up in a good way. You know, they were going to tear it apart. Yeah. And I think a lot of people were probably sitting there ready to tear it apart. Mm-hmm. It just freaking worked, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to agree with everything everyone has said. You know, I'm not a big musical person. I really am not. I think the first one I really gravitated to that I really truly loved was Hamilton. So does mm-hmm. everybody else on the planet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was really the first one I really dove into and tried to learn the songs and, you know, put it on my Spotify and we're listening to it on repeat. So, you know, to come to this in the Star Trek world, and like you said, Kyle, you can do one thing and get it be off very bad. You know, this was a potential cringe moment for all of Star Trek and all of Paramount Plus. But man, when when you nail it, you nail it. And that's exactly what they did. The music, even the story logic, we'll get into some of that, I thought, you know, really worked for what they were trying to do. And I hate when people break out into random song, but this, you know, I love this episode. I really did. I think they just did a fantastic job. So
since you brought it up, let me challenge the big question about musical theater, which of course I adore. So, I'm always fascinated by people who say it doesn't make sense to me that these people burst into song. And I like the fact that in this episode, they actually address that head on, that the reason mm-hmm. why that happens is because words have become insufficient. Mm-hmm. And the fact is we don't do that in real life. What intrigues me about that is that nobody questions the fact that symphonic music swells up in movies, and that doesn't happen in real life either. But nobody says, wait a minute, where did that come from? That makes no sense. But the people singing, for some reason, that trips a different trigger. They go, well, nobody does that. Well,
fair enough.
You know, when Darth Vader enters a room, what? He's got an orchestra behind him? What? I don't. Why is that happening? You know, but we've been trained to accept that. We see a lot more movies than we do musical plays. You know, everybody grows up with that on television. So I think it takes us by surprise the first time we are encountered. I go, that's weird. Why are they doing that?
Yeah.
And incidentally, as Kyle likes to say, I'll buy anything as long as there's an attempt at an explanation. And this show offers us an attempt at an explanation that we've encountered an improbability field. Yeah, okay. And that's sort of a wave of the hand, but yeah, I will buy that. And it proposes to explain why the people are singing. It does not explain why there's music swelling up behind them.
Yeah.
Where's it coming from?
Which they can hear. Yeah. With they're being cued by it, you know.
But if it's an improbability field and they sent music over to the field right before they started singing.
And they sent them the title song from the musical Anything Goes. Yeah. This is it's what you're going to get back. Yeah, it does. We'll pretend for an hour like this makes sense. You know?
Yeah, musical reality. Yeah, it was kind of all... It was techno babble at its best. Which,
it is an excuse to get into this. But I'm hoping you're going to talk about... I know you have a list of questions, and so I'm trying. Well, it's the naked time, right? I think that's the real genius of this episode, is that we're at a point where we have introduced enough backstory of these characters. We've understood their interconnectivity. We understood their relationships to each other. Many of them now have heartbreaking backstories that we know. You know, we've wondered what was going on with Mbingo. We've wondered what's going to happen with Chapel and Spock. What would happen if Lon encounters Kirk again, and so on. In this episode, it all happens. It all hits the wall at the same time, and they have this curse. They say what they're thinking.
Oh, boy. Liar, liar.
Right.
It's a Jim Carrey movie.
That's right. And that was one of the genius things that the original Star Trek did, of having so early in the series an episode in which everybody's facades are stripped away. So clever that... it became part of the writer's guide for Next Generation. We need to do this as soon as possible. and they encountered the same plague, apparently having not remembered that the cure is, anyway, should be in their data banks. But anyway, why not? Why not do it again? And so you couldn't do it a third time. Yeah. But I think this is a brilliant way of getting to the same thing for the purpose of relationship with the fans and to getting these stories to go further. What do you guys think? Do you agree? This is the naked time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree when you think about how these relationships come together in this episode. And, you know, maybe not relating specifically to the naked time, but how we've paid off everything we've done in the past two seasons. And, you know, some of these emotional beats in this episode, I know we're using this as the excuse to blurt out in song, but some of these emotional beats were just... dragging at me and pulling me down and bringing me up. So, I mean, in that aspect, I think they definitely accomplished what they were trying to do, because, man, these character relationships that we see and where it pushes it off to the future going forward, and where it even pushes it off to canon relationship going forward, I think was just an excellent job.
I really thought that for a musical where we're going to be so, you know, concentrate, you know, on the musical aspect, the songs, the choreography, they had a lot of character development.
Mm.
A lot, you know, especially with Chapel. And I felt myself feeling some kind of way about Nurse Chapel. But I was not happy with her. But I was like, they set this up when you first meet Chapel, this iteration of Chapel. Mm-hmm. They tell you, she said, I'm bad with relationships. Things get serious and I run away. But she was kind of pushing for this thing with Spock for a minute. It's like, oh, kind of wish he would notice me. Yeah, me and T'Pring, we took a time out. Let's see where this goes.
Right.
All right, peace. I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, what? Seriously?
Right. My wife and I watched this together, and during the closing credits, she said, that was cold. You referring to Chapel? Yes. That was cool.
Look at this, though, guys, and I want to throw this in here. Aren't they doing a wonderful job with this show?
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Because when you look back at that scene in What Little Girls Are Made Of, That takes on a whole different meaning when Spock says, "Are you sure that it is him?" Mr. Spock, have you ever been engaged? Oh, girl, shots fired.
Yeah.
You know I've been engaged.
But isn't that an example of what good writing is supposed to do?
I know.
Where it takes existing and it layers upon layers on top of that. It doesn't detract from the existing. It enhances it. And back to the music real quick before I... before we move on and I forget it, which is, imagine some of these songs, if they had had a song about they're on the bridge, or another song about transporters, or another song about tricorders or whatever.
It could have been that.
Yeah. I'm looking at Clarence and he's all, you know, just immediately you and Lee started shaking your head like, no, don't.
Right.
And imagine if that had been it. We would not have be talking as glowingly about this if that would have been the case. But they didn't go that route. I'm glad they didn't, but they didn't.
No, number one's big song with Lon is about, you know, it takes courage to be who we are.
Yeah.
That's a big idea, and it's real important for both of those characters, really in different ways. And, yeah, they're defying gravity by the end of that song. And it's exulting. I think there are probably a lot of people in the audience who needed to hear that message, and they may be feeling the same way, you know?
Yeah, and that's keeping secrets. And, you know, going back to the direction of the episode, when we get into some of these very heartfelt, emotional moments, they did a good job of showing other parts of the ship, you know, keeping secrets. They're showing in Binga, knowing what he's kept.
That's right.
Different characters, and we're seeing them kind of sit in this moment. Just a great job. And you, of course, we know about Lon and the, not really a secret, but we know what's pulling her back and how she doesn't want to break out of that. She feels like she can't for the most part. Now I think her song was, what was the name of her song? How would it feel? How would that feel?
You know? Flying Blind. Yeah.
Some great lyrics in that song. Yeah. Just the overall lyrics, period. I feel like they did a great job of it, like you said, Cal, we could have been talking about transporters. We could have been talking about the bridge, but they not only talked about these characters, but they went deep on these characters. Mm-hmm. It seems like whoever wrote this really studied, you know, where these characters have come from and where they're going.
They really understand them. That's right. And I, like I said, I'm still just blown away. The letter Y, right? Common in algebra. And the question, why? So to have Spock solving for why, but he's missed it because I'm the X. Wow. I just gasped. I said, that's fine. And that is apparently an uncredited Kay Hanley and Tom Pulse. If you think back to the 90s and you knew the group Letters to Cleo, they were in that.
I remember them.
Yeah. And that's them. And they've both been writing things for all kinds of media since. And Kay Hanley's done a lot of media stuff for animated series that many of us have probably seen. But I found that out today, thanks to IMDb Pro. But I'm looking at the closing titles, and Tom Pulse is credited as additional lyrics. But Kay Hanley is not credited at all. So there's always a union reason for about credit. So I want to know what it is, but I noticed once again that the music editor for the series is named Matt Decker. that catches my eye from time to time. I always want to say, I'm sure that on the show they say, you know, there was a character on the show named Matt Decker, and he says, "Don't you think I know that?"
Yeah, he gets it all the time.
So I've been waiting for somebody to say that so I can say, "Don't you think I know that?"
I had a question, and this is for, if you don't mind, for Lee. Lee knows this. Having taught this, you have to remember something in a musical. You have to do a musical to the strengths of the actors. Not everybody is a great singer. So when you do the theater, you have that range. Mm-hmm. You don't go too high. You don't go too low. You keep it right in the spot, right? And it's like you vocalize and you project, you know, because like we said, you got tons of people on this show. I could pick out who was a singer and who wasn't, you know, like I could see M'Banga, They let him do his thing. Yeah. They worked mm-hmm. with his, not his strength, singing.
Right.
You know, we know that Christina and Celia, they're singing. Ethan's also done musical theater. Yeah. So that's one reason. Rebecca sang mm-hmm. long before she started modeling or acting.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So that's one. And so, you know, that the sweet spots, like sometimes you have somebody and they'll try to solo and go and you're like, whoa. Tamp it down.
Nope. As an actor, when I've been in musicals, I am not going to be the lead. They do not put me out there. You know, I'm one of those guys whose music is all within a certain range. You know, he'll hit that. But yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. If you've got in your cast Celia Rose Gooding, for heaven's sake,
yeah,
then give them the song where they've got to belt the long sustained song. It's just so it's almost operatic. And then give Christina Chong the other song where she needs to, you know, rattle the rafters with her voice because she can do it. Don't give it to Anson Mount. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fine voice. He does a good job with what they give him, but notice it's not much.
It's not much.
No. So,
but I was surprised by how well he sang though. Anson Mount, I really never took him as being a singer at all, as well as Ethan Peck, although you guys have informed me he's done musicals before, mm-hmm. but I, again, writing to the strengths of the actors and the singers in this case. It. I think they just really did a beautiful job. And even Battelle, I don't think she was a great singer from the part, you know, the private conversation they had there on the bridge. So, mm-hmm. yeah, just great job of writing to the strengths of the actors.
Hey, trivia. What movie was Anson Mount in with an incredibly famous singer? He not only played the guitar, but he sang a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Is that our trick trivia?
I'd say he was in Crossroads with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
What?
Way back in the day.
That's right. The tiny little Anson Mount.
With no gray in his hair at all.
That's right. Yeah.
So what other Anson Mount character would we never want to hear sing?
Black Bolt. I think Bingo. That would be a bad idea. I think
you guys are getting deep on me.
That's not what you did there, Kyle.
Do not want to hear Black Bolt sing.
No, you don't.
Although he was not too much for Miss Wanda there. Spoilers.
Don't get me started on that.
That was nasty.
We're doing Star Trek today. I'm not going there.
Let's stay off WandaVision.
I do want to pick up a few comments real quick. Derry in the chat is saying that Ethan Peck's voice was surprisingly mesmerizing. Yes, mm-hmm. I totally agree.
He's got a gravitas. Great, yeah.
And our boy Wingrace makes a comment saying that the deep dark secret of Ortegas was the helm is my realm.
It's my realm. Yep. Very logical Ortegas, rhyme there.
Give her some more because I love Ortegas. She just, they gave her a little bit more this season, but you know, I think in the last episode she might shine just a little bit more, but man, it's been hard to get her in the limelight this season, so I want more of Ortegas.
That's a beautiful tease, isn't it? That she keeps wanting to be on the away team. You know.
Yeah.
We're going to pay that off. So, yeah, we got to.
And we'll move on. So one of the scenes I really liked before we got to the point of Una and Kirk singing the Connect to Your Truth song, which, you know, mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty good song as well. I love the scene of them in the Jeffries tubes because we get this mm-hmm. one kind of upshot where it looks like it goes on forever. So I'm mm-hmm. like, oh man, it is so cool. That. I don't know how they did it, but it was amazing. But Laan looks on in jealousy. Let's talk about Laan and Kirk in this episode. People are saying we're getting too much Kirk in Strange New Worlds. Not only is he here, he's singing as well. So what do we think about the dynamic between those two and just the secret that she has not been able to tell anybody until this point?
I like the fact that it broke the rules of the episode that she could have that deeply emotional conversation with him and not burst into song. Right?
Yeah.
She sort of covered that with a line, but really it didn't make sense in terms of the rules of the episode, right? Yeah. This is how you start singing. So she has this incredibly emotional, intense scene. So the fact that I didn't care that the rules have been broken, I think says a lot about that performance and about the way that was written. She said everything but, "And I love you," because she didn't have to, did she? I feel like,
yeah, Man, yeah. Such a hard conversation.
See, I'm actually going to push back and disagree just a little bit that the rule wasn't broken, because I'm thinking the improbability feel set her up to have that emotional moment with him so she could then go and belt one-on-one her revealing soul song, as we will call it.
Yeah, that happened. Maybe. Before, though, didn't it?
But
it
I don't still. Know. Wibbly wobbly timey-wimey. Yeah,
right. But anyway, maybe you're right that it's still, this was equally improbable that she'd actually say this, but that she would sing it. Yeah, I'll go for that.
I love the what we got with the reveal of, you know, Kirk saying, I kind of already with somebody.
Yep.
Which and you know what? I'm glad they nipped that.
And
in
we
the
know
butt.
Who it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's pregnant already, which made me incredibly sad, because we know how that child's life is going to go.
Yeah.
The only bad thing about a prequel. But I thought it was cool. Don't tease us with the Kirk Lon thing, because we know it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
And why doesn't he remember Noni and Singh?
Yeah, it's kind of full circle,
isn't
it?
Girl told me she kind of loved me, but I ain't never heard that name before. Your name's Conway.
Oh, man. I love we had a bit of confusion between the two Kirks when they called out for Kirk. I thought that was a pretty funny scene as well.
More character development. Him and Sam.
Sibling rivalry, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, you could see that it would be rough whether you're the older brother or younger brother, which they've never really told us.
Hmm.
As I said in the books, it's both, to be in his shadow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm a scientist. Well, my brother's captain of a starship.
And fans of TOS know how that's when's going to end, too. So,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every time I see Sam, I go,
watch your back, Sam. Yeah.
It's almost like they intentionally saved all the tough conversations for this episode. I mean, just all around.
That's what I'm saying. I think the long range plan was, this is going to be our naked time. We're going to people are going to tell the truth for an hour.
So does it lessen the emotional impact or the sting if it's sung, or does it sting just as badly?
They still said it. And I think that's one of the things that's great about the private conversation song, is that then when we have Pike and Battelle in the same room, that stung. So you just lied to my face, in other words. I did. It doesn't change it a damn bit.
Like I said, just because somebody is brilliant, like I'm really tired of the whole thing that starship captains can't be happy. That's gotten a little old, because it's like I guess they want to be able to pivot and do whatever they want with the character and not have them, but it's really kind of old and ridiculous. But look at Picard never committed. Pike never really committed.
But I do kind of like that Pike's excuse is, I just want to go to the mountains and chill out. I don't want to go to some fancy resort, you know?
Right.
I thought that was pretty good. And we get a comment here from Retney that I'll pick up real quick, saying Kirk shouldn't have said that all in her face, all seductively and everything.
Yeah. You do want to watch the episode twice. And when he starts that, to go, Carol, hey, Carol. Jim, I just want to say, Carol. Yeah. No, I'm with Rodney.
So we find out that this improbability feel is spreading across subspace, affecting other ships. Eventually, we get a scene of a Klingon cruiser bridge, and they're trying to communicate. And I think this is the point a lot of Star Trek fans just kind of, you know, fell on their face, ran for the hills. What are you guys' thoughts on the Klingon scene?
If we had opened with that, I think there would have been rebellion, right? But it happened late enough in the episode that we could say, well, the song was Anything Goes, wasn't it? Yep, I guess. What do you think?
I thought the choreography was amazing, because I know they brought real dancers in to do that.
Yeah, those are
obviously
dancers.
But I mean, there's got to be some behind the scenes footage of that. I get that, of those guys rehearsing in costume as Klingon, saying, "We'll slay you, slay." I was like, "Oh my god, This is so nice. Klingon K-pop. That's exactly what I mean.
That's exactly what it was. That was Bruce Horak, by the way. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah. 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 Playing so General Garkog.
Garkog. So
good to have
him. Hammer's going to stay in the show no matter. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was. Oh, we got to come pick up this comment real quick saying that we're hoping for a Klingon opera. Yeah. I'm definitely down with that. And I find it funny. So many dancers probably woke up one morning and never thought they'd ever be in Star Trek. Yeah. Their agent just gives them the call. Yeah. You want to dance aboard the Enterprise
as a Klingon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. That's simply amazing. But
the entire thought process behind a dancing Klingon.
Yeah. It's just great. It's great. Blows your mind.
Yes.
Let's see. Being from the community I'm in, community of wonderful nerds across many times, I've seen Klingons dance before. I've been to way too many conventions, man.
That's true. Yes. Yes.
I have seriously seen a Starfleet Klingon dance off.
No, oh,
no joke.
You remind me that I was at a convention where a group of people dressed very well, perfectly appointed Klingon. They did, these boots are made for walking. Oh, they had a dance routine to the whole song. It was fantastic.
Oh, I paid money to see that.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I found it funny how in this episode, we even took it one notch further by saying we needed 344 gila electron volts to shatter this improbability field, which culminates in the grand finale. Mm-hmm. They just went all the way with it. They yep. went all the way with it, man. And this was not a short episode. It was filled with song and a full length. I mean, almost a little bit over an hour for full runtime. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, they definitely didn't pull any punches there. If I were to say, what is your favorite song or melody from this here episode? And we'll go around the horn. Larry, what was your favorite one out of this episode?
But I will say one thing I didn't do. I didn't look up the name of the songs. But I'll just say that my favorite, wow, that's really hard. Because so I love the Klingons, but that was too short.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with La'an's song.
Mm. Yeah,
I really was very touched by it. It went with the character that she's somebody who suffered this horrible trauma that no one should have to suffer, and right. she's just reluctant to open herself up to someone. And when she did, she lost him, and now here he's back, but he's not actually him.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Beautiful song. I mean. Blew me away.
So I think they were all good, but I really liked the finale because the way they paced it and the way you included the audience by seeing that gauge rise and rise, it was like you were mm-hmm. rooting for yeah. them to meet
of
it.
Of course.
So everything on that was spot on. That was my favorite.
Oh, I too just love them all, but you can't beat I'm Ready / I'm the X.
Yes. So good.
The Marilyn Monroe number with the, I always want to call her Kate Bush, Jess Bush.
sort of jazzy kind of
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And then bring it way down. The soundtrack album is on Apple Music. And I immediately downloaded that. And I was going somewhere with my stepdaughter the other day and I was playing I'm the X and she seemed concerned. You know, she said, this is suicide music. I said,
it is pretty dark.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
Oh, boy. For me, what would be my favorite? I think
yes.
Two, first of all, I like how they redid the intro, the main theme.
Yeah.
Acapella main
theme.
They
need to keep that one in there. Let's forget about the other one. It's so beautiful. And also, I love Keep Us Connected, which is Uhura's. Kind of, I would call it Uhura's anthem from henceforth because mm-hmm. she just is wonderful in it. And I love like kind of how they start off. She talks about being so low and she's lamenting it. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the song, she's embracing it and she's happy. That's just who I am. And I'm going to love and I'm going to do this thing. And that's my Uhura anthem right there. So keep us connected. There's, anyone have anything else they want to bring up from the episode that we failed to talk about as we kind of wrap up? when you guys think about it, I'll pick up some comments here. Would not stop saying, I have to go with the Klingon song. I watched every episode of Trek ever made, and never has a scene garnered the spontaneous laughter out of me as that song and dance scene. Yes.
They have assimilated some of our culture, and what they chose was K-pop. Who knows why, but yeah.
Wingray says, Uhura Solo followed by Lan Solo. Also, when the Klingon sang, Faith of the Heart Low. So you definitely go check out Wingrace's channel. He put a YouTube short up where he replaced the K-pop music with Faith of the Heart from Enterprise. And it oddly works. It oddly works. Yeah, it somehow it's just, yeah. A comment here from Derry saying that slightly torn between Lan and Spock's songs. Every time Spock dropped to that low note in each line of that X song was just awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Derry. Can I talk about that for a second? When we're writing music for an artist, one of the things that you don't do, unless you know you can get away with it, is do something tricky like that way down note. And that's why I was practicing before I tried to come on the show and do it here. Mm-hmm. This news really changes everything. That some singers would say, that's just cruel. Just look, we're right up here and we got to go down here. And then the end of the line is, I'll not make that mistake again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, this composer hates me, but, but it worked. And Derry's right. I'm with you. That, especially when Ethan Peck did it, I'm like, ooh, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. We got a comment here from when I saw, maybe I'm saying it wrong. I said Uhura is what I say. Is it Uhura?
Uhura.
I say Uhura.
I've always heard. Yeah. I never heard the liquid U.
Yeah. I remember one time I got fussed at for saying Uhura and I've never said it that way again. Yeah. So.
I actually know one of my friend, Eddie, is from Kenya. So he speaks Swahili. He taught me. Mm-hmm. You actually say her name is Nyota Uhuru.
Uhuru, that's, wow. Right.
That's how it's pronounced in Kenya.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I don't think I have anything else but for us to give ratings. Another comment from Dory here. Yes. Oh my gosh. I love their brilliant choice, though, because he can do it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, guys, I won't force you to sing them out, but if you could give me your ratings out of 5 for this episode, and let's start with you, Kyle. What is your rating for this episode, sir?
Easily, this will be 5 notes out of 5.
Indeed, sir. Larry, how would you rate this one, sir?
5 octaves.
Ooh.
See, now I've got to come up with something.
Julie Andrews, yeah.
Oh, yes.
What about you, Mr. Shackelford?
Oh, I was going to try to sing it again. Yeah, I've got to give it 5 out of 5. I have to give this 5 out of 5. Yeah.
Bravo, sir. Bravo. Thank you. And also for me, I'm going to give that a 5 out of 5. People listening on the chat, what do you rate this episode? Please drop it in the comments. And also, if you want to email us or hit us up on socials, you can do that at Discussing Trek on any and all social medias. And fans or feedback at DiscussingTrek.com. Rittany gives it a 5 out of 5. Looks like everybody's loving this and would not stop. 5 out of 5. Oh, man. So, you know, I think this was kind of a win. They accomplished what they set out to do, which just amazing. If you watch the Ready Room with Will Wheaton, and by the way, Will Wheaton almost made me not watch the show because he started singing as soon as it came on. But, you know, of course, they talk about some of the behind the BTS of the episode, and Christina Chong has been pushing for this a musical episode since she first started because knew the talent on the cast and she's been pushing forward. And you know, she talks about how a year later they came to her and said, come over here, I got something to tell you we might be doing. So
you know what we're gonna get one day, and you know we're gonna get it because I saw Barbie this week. Ooh. And I saw Shuti Gatwa. He is amazing.
Really
great.
A man can dance. Yeah.
Oh, and a man, I'm telling you, even though he's not on the mains, it's a great movie. Go see it. billion dollars. But I'm telling you, we're getting a Doctor Who musical.
Would that not cause a rip in the time vortex?
We're going to be dancing on the outside of the TARDIS, man. It's going to happen.
You may be right.
And this man's voice, we get a Doctor Who musical, trust me.
That's right. Bring back Billy Piper, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, yep. If it is written by RTD or Stephen Moffat, by all means, I'm there for it.
Yes.
Hope springs eternal. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap things up. Thanks to each and every one of you for joining us in the chat. We really appreciate it. We're always here every week at 8 p.m. Central Time. So thanks for joining. And until next time, guys, live long and prosper. Thanks for listening to the Discussing Trek podcast. For more information, go to discussingtrek.com/subscribe.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.